I'm talking about an interesting subject this morning, fanaticism and faithfulness. It's like, isn't that an odd title for... But it's really a cool talk. It really is cool. So I'm going to be talking about fanaticism and faithfulness. And there is a really sweet story, which is called a koan, about this monk and his teacher, Chao Chu, and really gives this wonderful depiction of fanaticism and faithfulness. But for those of you that study the Bailey teaching, you're going to recognize in this story also what glamour is and illusion is and vanity and ego. So this story is koan, even though it's very ancient and very short, it is so significant of so many elements in the teaching that we are supposed to observe in ourselves that I thought you'd really, really like to hear this koan and the whole subject of fanaticism and faithfulness. So fanaticism and faithfulness, first in a general sense, and then in a more specific understanding found in the teaching. So I'm going to share both. I guess we could call it the exoteric and the esoteric. But no matter which level of understanding we approach fanaticism, one thing is consistent. Fanaticism is an excessive intolerance of opposing views. An excessive intolerance of opposing views. In general, faithfulness means to keep your promises and honor your commitments, even when the cost is high. To be faithful indicates that your word means something. If you say it, do it. If you believe in it, be faithful to it. For example, being faithful to your marriage vows. Being faithful to the vows you took for your church or your spiritual group membership. Being faithful to the vows you took as a godparent, and so forth, are examples of faithfulness. Faithfulness to the teaching and being a fanatic about the teaching are two totally different actions. So I'm going to give you an example of fanaticism by this way of a Zen koan. And by the way, the pronunciation of this word is K-O-A-N. There are two different pronunciations. One is koan and the other is koan. Either one. You go to Webster Dictionary on your internet and say pronounce this word and several different places they pronounce it differently. So I've chosen to pronounce it as koan, but koan is acceptable as well. So koans are brief stories used as part of the teaching of ancient Zen masters. The stories are always brief, sometimes little more than a phrase, and never more than a few sentences, but they are always profound. However, their profundity is usually very elusive, and it may take weeks, months, or even years to fully grasp their significance. Classically, they are given to students to meditate upon. The masters then gauge the spiritual attainment of students by the way the students convey their understanding of the koans. So this particular koan is called the Stone Bridge. A monk asked Chao Chu, he said, "For a long time I've heard of the Stone Bridge of Chao Chu, but now I've come here, I see a simple log bridge." Chao said, "You just see the log bridge, but you don't see the stone bridge. The monk said, well, what is the stone bridge? Chow said, it lets asses cross. It lets horses cross. Zen masters were often known by the place they came to reside in. This usage is similar to how English aristocrats were known, not by their names, but by the region that they ruled. So in this koan, Chow Chu is the name of the master, but it is also the name of the place where he resided. The stone bridge the monk is talking about was an ancient and famous stone bridge that existed in Chow Chu, the time of the koan, more than 1,000 years ago. So the monk is actually ridiculing the master, saying that he had come to study the Chow Chu. But when he got there, all he found was a very ordinary person, a simple log bridge. Chow Chu's response to the insult is very interesting. He doesn't get angry or upset. He puts himself in the shoes of the monk and merely states the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is that the monk can, after all, only speak for himself, as indeed any of us can. Chow Chu says to the monk, you see the log bridge, but you don't see the stone bridge. He is in effect saying to the monk, my friend, that is all that you are equipped to see, a simple log bridge, or just an ordinary simple person. But the monk is not easily satisfied, and he challenges Chow Chu further, and he asks, what is the stone bridge? He is saying, in effect, okay, so you say you are no just ordinary person, so tell me, who are you? Now, what can Chow Chu say in response to this challenge? Should he enumerate his qualities and attributes? Should he list all the people he has successfully trained? Or should he attack the monk for his stupidity and insolence? Chow Chu chooses to do nothing of the sort. Again, he states the truth simply and beautifully. And in answering, he leaves us this profound teaching, which is as valid today as it was then. He says quite calmly and simply, it lets asses cross. It lets horses cross. Now, Chow Chu's first arrow is compassionate, for it goes to the heart of the monk, his lack of understanding. Chow Chu is saying to him, in effect, my dear friend, you can see the particular, but you cannot see the whole. You can see this particular, an ordinary person in front of you, but you cannot see the whole truth of which I am a part. You are using your narrow and partial views to create your own partial world view. You come looking for a great master, but all you can see is the personality me, which is no different from the personality you. And there is no doubt an element of truth in what you say, but you then expand this partial truth to become the whole truth. To do so is perverse. It is headstrong because it is driven by your vanity to elevate yourself at my expense. When you do that, you see me as vain as you are. And you feel that I am proclaiming myself as this wonderful teacher, which makes you feel small. So you try to cut me down. Wake up, my friend, and do not see only the log bridge, but see the stone bridge, and understand that the stone bridge is as ancient as it is profound. It bridges ignorance with reality, not with an imagination rich in vanity. Is that not profound? So much in it. So a fanatic is attached to whatever he has and cannot expand his mental prison. Fanaticism is the inability to see the whole. So when we look at the news today, the political news, and the strangeness that is going on, and whole thinking person are looking at the myriad of fanatics who have the inability to see the whole, this is our answer. It's not that they're, well, maybe they are stupid, but the cause underlying the situation is that they have an inability to see the whole. It is also intolerance. The fanatic is also lacking in tolerance in anything or anyone who is outside of his or her so-called wholeness. In other words, their little corner of space, little corner in space. Fanaticism is the imposition of beliefs on others, proclaiming that all else is against the truth. Don't we see this in religion? Even in families, my family is the only family that counts. My country is the only country that counts. All else is lesser. Fanaticism is the imposition of belief on others, proclaiming that all else is against the truth. Fanaticism uses the companions of anger and violence. Think of January 6th. Imposition, treason, slander against others. A fanatic is attached to whatever they have and cannot expand their mental prison. Now, in faithfulness, the person has pure discrimination and does not allow any faulty teaching to enter in. The faithful one are responsible for guarding the many treasures given to the great ones throughout the ages, such as the teaching of Buddha and Jesus, the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, and the Mahabharata, among others. The teaching has survived until today because the faithful guardians did not mix them with the teachings of those who fell and were far below the consciousness of those who gave us these teachings. What is interesting is that faithfulness looks for the pure, teaching. It believes that the teaching can increase and grow through those who have a pure understanding of the teaching. We can see the opposite in the koan. The monk was looking for a master, but when he met the master, all he was able to see was a log bridge due to his small consciousness. A fanatic has a small consciousness, unable to see the whole, or is unable to recognize how truth increases and grows in those who have a pure understanding of the teaching. How then does one recognize new additions to the teaching? And this is very important for us, really, in the esoteric teaching, because we are told the year 2025, a new wave of the teaching will come into existence. So how can we recognize new additions to the teaching? New additions to the teaching will always be in harmony with the teaching given by the great ones, and no contradictions will be found. There may possibly be a deepening and expansion of some of the fundamental ideas and principles. Fanaticism cannot grow because all that the fanatic knows is the last word. See, the last word, and all else, all the rest is wrong. The fanatic says, all must deny their path and follow my beliefs, or else they must be persecuted in various ways. When a person studies the teaching, it is very important for the first 5 to 7 years of study to keep their consciousness very clear and in certainty until their consciousness grows and their sense of discrimination opens. When a teaching of wisdom develops discrimination and intuition, that student must then be allowed to approach other faiths, philosophies, or religions so that they can find the common denominator between them and to try to develop such techniques by which they can translate other faiths in a way that they do not contradict the one they have or had. So faithfulness is a search for truth and fact, no matter where they are found. To pursue such a search, one must really believe that their faith is based upon a real foundation. So this reminds me of all the conspiracy theories that are floating around now on the internet, including the fact they say that 9/11 never happened, that plane didn't fly into the Pentagon. I remember one situation where a friend believed that, and I just so happened to have a friend that was an EMT that was called to the Pentagon and took pictures of the airplane. She was inside that airplane, and she helped many of the officials there that had been in the Pentagon that were in distress. So I took pictures. Fact. See, so when you begin to believe a conspiracy theory, look for the truth and look for the fact. The faithful fanatic. A faithful fanatic is worse than a fanatic. A faithful fanatic tries to create every kind of intellectual game to show that their belief cannot be surpassed, and that it is the only one from beginning to end. Is there any bigger crime than the denial that in the future no one will surpass the level of the person who is the source of a faith? Can we imagine someone saying, accept my conclusions and observations as truth forever, and do not try to penetrate deeper or have more inclusive observations on life as a whole? There should be a measure by which we can discover if a belief is pure or mixed or impure. And there are 4 points to help us with that measure. The first one is that Christ gave one measure when he said, by their fruits you will know them. By their fruits, by their accomplishments, by their successes, by their failures, by their experiences, as opposed to a person who has no knowledge, no experience, no success, and no failure. Those are the fanatics, the hypocrites, the devoted and faithful fanatic. By their fruits you will know them. That's our first measure. The next one, Lord Buddha advised his disciples to develop detachment. So what does that mean to us? Even though detachment, we understand detachment, but being able to stand back from our belief system, be unattached to it so that we can be humble enough, vulnerable enough to dive into deeper levels of understanding of that belief, that person's religion, that person's philosophy, that person's belief system. Can we be detached enough from our own beliefs of truth and fact to really hear what another person's truth and fact is? So this is why Lord Buddha advised his disciples to develop a detachment. Now, Muhammad taught self-forgetfulness and surrender. So like that monk, he was there to present himself to Chao Chu as more important, as more knowledgeable, as better than, because he lived in this little corner of vanity and self-interest. Self-forgetfulness. This is Muhammad taught self-forgetfulness and surrender. Moses, number 4, Moses taught to obey the will of the Most High. Those are the 4 measures we can use to discover if a belief is pure or mixed or impure. Fundamentalism. This might be a surprise to some of you, that fundamentalism is not a faith. Isn't that interesting? Fundamentalism is not a faith. It is a belief based on certain foundations which were laid 2,000 to 7,000 years ago. Tradition, or the writings given long ago, had a different meaning in our current translations. And we erroneously tend to accept our translations as solid truth. Human life is progressive, like it or not. Human life is progressive, and each step of its progress has new needs, new keys to solve problems, new demands, and new aspirations. So foundations that I was talking about that are laid 2,000 to 7,000 years ago, foundations are important. The foundation of the age's wisdom is light. But it is light that is ever progressive in its expressions and manifestations. So we can take the teachings of Agni Yoga that was given 100 years ago, and because it is progressive in its expression and manifestation, it meets our needs not only today, the present, but also anticipates the needs of the future to help prepare us. Faithfulness to the teaching is the dedication to pure light in all manifestations or expressions of the light. That's another definition of faithfulness. Dedication, faithfulness to the teaching is a dedication to pure light in all manifestations or expressions of that light. Fanaticism is blind adherence to one portion of the foundation. Usually such a portion of the entire foundation is a stone that was deserted by the builders and buried because of its uselessness. And I'm going to close with this couple of things. Fundamentalism or fundamentalists. Fundamentalists fall into fanaticism when they do not stand on the foundation of the entire ever-growing and ever-expanding tower of wisdom. I think in the cases of some people, I think in the teaching that it is easy, even if not recognizable, to fall into fundamentalism because people love the teaching so much. But if we allow ourselves to broaden our consciousness, not to take one book and memorize that whole book and, you know, say, this is the only book, this is the most profound, this is the one book I really, really love, but take all of the books, which includes the history of religion, the history of philosophy, the history of, and biographies of the great ones of Buddha and Moses and Zoroaster and Christ and Jesus, and we begin to include the whole foundation of these teachings, we will be ever growing and ever expanding and ever expanding tower of wisdom. So in the path that we focus on here in White Mountain is the path of the Ageless Wisdom with a focus on Agni Yoga. But there is a broader path than Agni Yoga. Unfortunately, those that are on the broader path have narrowed it. Not everybody, but many have narrowed it to be this teacher on this path is the teacher you must follow and not mix. I mean, I have been the victim of this for many, many years. When this group began to translate and publish books in Agni Yoga, they made us take off of the fanatics, the fundamentalists made us take off of our website one of the other teachers. And I did it. Perhaps stupidly I did it because they were coming after us in the hordes, the armies of attack, saying that we were being unfaithful to the founder of Agni Yoga. And I didn't want that as a reputation. But I've, over the years of growing, I've discovered now, like what it says in this koan, they're in their own little corner of space. Mm-hmm. They're not standing on the foundation of the ever-growing, ever-expanding Tower of Wisdom. So let us, you on watching the lecture on YouTube and those of us here, let us not fall into being fundamentalists, erroneously thinking because we're in a New Age teaching, so-called New Age, that it's the only way to fly. Centuries from now, if an inclusive generation arises, they are going to try to learn from each tool that we created. They're going to discover and see why we created it, and to see how much more that tool was helpful for our survival and happiness. These all-inclusive generations will determine whether our tools were made for survival or for self-destruction. Isn't that something? Yeah, I love this whole theme of fanaticism and fundamentalism for the times that we are living in right now, because it definitely gives us answers as to what's happening.